Now we're turning in our Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel by Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to read just the first 10 verses of the chapter, Matthew chapter 27, and reading from verse 1 down to and including verse 10. And the Word of God says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they laid him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.'" Amen. We'll finish there, knowing God will bless the reading, the public reading of his word to our hearts again this evening. Now, I want to take as my theme this evening this character of Judas. Over these past number of weeks, we've been looking at different men, different characters in Scripture who use the phrase, "I have sinned." And we find Judas is one of those men. This is the last one that we'll look at of these characters. We've looked at different ones. We looked at Job last week, and we looked at the prodigal son many weeks ago, and so many other characters as well. Pharaoh was another one. Achan was another. But we come to the last one tonight, and we come to Judas. We come to one of the saddest accounts in Scripture of a man who knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal sense. He walked with Christ. He'd spent 3 years physically alongside him and still rejected him. Someone who knew the person of Jesus and rejected who he was. It tells us in verse 4 of our passage that Judas said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." Now, whenever we come to this character of Judas, and we know the name Judas, and his name has become synonymous with someone who betrays another, someone who betrays a friend. But whenever we actually look at the person of Judas in our Bibles, one of the things that we find, one of the things that's interesting, is that every time his name is mentioned in the Bible, we find reference to the fact that he betrayed Christ. There is no instance whatsoever in the Gospels whatsoever where we find Judas mentioned where it doesn't tell us that he betrayed the Lord. That's how deep his betrayal was, that the Word of God records it to such an extent that every time he's mentioned, he's the one who betrayed the Lord. We know this phrase, Judas. We know that it's used in common language, as so many things in the Bible are used in the common language, and so many parables are used and statements are used, and people use the name Judas to speak of someone who has betrayed another. But when we come to look at this man, Judas, whenever we come to consider him, there's three things I want us to notice this evening. And I don't want to keep you very long in this weather tonight, but I want you to notice, first of all, his opportunity. We think about Judas, and we find this man who has found himself in a terrible situation, a terrible scenario that we've read about here. They've taken the Lord Jesus away. They've delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And then it says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Think about Judas. Think about his life. Think about what we read in the New Testament about the disciples. I want to first of all remember that this was a man who had associated himself with Jesus. This was someone who had a desire to be with Jesus. He had a desire, in fact, to be with the disciples of Jesus. In fact, as you read about him, he's one of the 12. He followed after Jesus. He seemed to be close to Jesus. But yet, whenever you look at his life, you'll find there's no evidence in Scripture whatsoever that he ever actually trusted in Jesus Christ. Contemplate what he has seen over his 3 years following the Lord. Contemplate the things that he has heard over his 3 years when he followed Jesus, when he joined himself to the disciples. And let's just set a little context to all of this. Over in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us that many had stopped following him. In John chapter 6, verse 66, it says, "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12." Now bear in mind, Judas is included in that figure. "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and art sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter speaks on behalf of them all. And he says, "We believe you are who you say you are. We believe that you're Christ, the Son of the living God." What does Jesus respond? It says, "Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Judas, when others were leaving, following after Jesus, remember the multitudes who followed him, and people were leaving him. It was too hard for them. The path was too hard. The road was too difficult. People were leaving, and yet Judas remained. And even at that time, the Lord Jesus knew all about him. The Lord Jesus said, "One of you is a devil," speaking to the 12. And yet Judas is there. And we think about what Judas has witnessed, what he has seen. He's seen the Lord Jesus Christ and the miracles that he's done. He's seen that he has raised the dead. He's seen the lame walk. He's seen the blind see, the leper healed. He's seen the demoniac released from captivity. And Judas had been there, and Judas had witnessed all of that. He had seen what Christ could do. He'd heard the words of Christ. He'd heard what Jesus had said. He'd heard how Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He'd heard Jesus say, "I am the bread of life." He heard Jesus say, "I am the living water. I am the light of the world." He'd heard Jesus say all of those things. The words of Christ were the words of life. Do you remember how, whenever the soldiers came to take Jesus captive and they came back without him, and they were questioned and they were asked, "Where is he? Why have you not got him?" And they said, this was the response that they said. They said, "Never man spake like this man." The words of Jesus had power. And here we have Judas. And Judas was there. And he'd heard these words. He'd heard what Jesus had said. He'd had so much opportunity. He'd been with Jesus. And he let it pass him by. Because Judas was more interested in what he could get in this life. And he wasn't really thinking about his eternity. We know this because John writes about it in John chapter 12 and verse 6. He says that he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. Judas was a thief. The word translated there in that verse is "bare" has the thought of being one who took what was in the bag. And in fact, what we have is a man who had been trusted as the treasurer of the disciples, and he held the money that they had, but he was stealing from the bag. And he was taking what was given to the Lord, and given to the Lord for the service of the Lord, so that the Lord could do, and the Lord could go from place to place, and that it would meet his needs. And Judas was taking from it and using it for his own ends. What does that tell us? It tells us that he was living for here and now. He wasn't living for eternity. He wasn't thinking about eternity. Now here's my question to you when we think about the opportunity that Judas had. What about you? You've heard the gospel many times. You've had opportunity. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Perhaps you've come and you've sat in this car park almost every week since we started these drive-in services, and perhaps even before that, when we were in the building, you were coming into gospel meetings. Maybe you've been coming to gospel meetings for years, and you've heard the gospel many times, and you've had opportunity, but you're living for this life. You're living for now. You're living for time, and you're not thinking about eternity. That's what Judas did. You're not trusting in Christ. We see Judas' opportunity, but secondly, we see Judas' betrayal. Back in the previous chapter, Matthew 26 and verse 14, we read these words. It says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Judas went to the chief priests. He knew that they were out to try and kill the Lord Jesus. And Judas, who portrayed himself as a friend, Judas who was with Christ, Judas who was there all the time, and he's gone to them, and what's he looking for? He's looking for what he can get in this life. "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." He wasn't interested anymore in Jesus. It was what he could get. And he was willing to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, as we have said, had been with the Lord for 3 years. He was trusted among the disciples as the one who carried the bag. He had eaten with the Lord many times over those years. He had a friendship. He had a relationship there in one sense with the Lord. All of the disciples had had that relationship. But there was an appointed time. A time when the Lord Jesus Christ was to go to a cross. And that appointed time had come. And Judas betrayed Jesus. The Lord Jesus knew that his hour had come when he was going to the cross. And there upon that cross, he was going to bear away the sins of the world. There upon that cross, he was paying the price for your sin and my sin. And he knew that he was going to the cross. And he knew that Judas would betray him. And he reveals it to the disciples in Matthew chapter 26. And the disciples are gathered with the Lord in the upper room. And as they're gathered there, of course, they're partaking of the Passover feast. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to them as they're sitting there. And he reveals this startling truth to the disciples as they're gathered. He says, "One of you shall betray me." In verse 22 of Matthew chapter 26, it says they were exceeding sorrowful. They were all gathered, all there, all sorrowful. Now, it's interesting when you read the account in Matthew 26 that there was none of them looking at anyone else. They were looking at themselves. They were all asking the question, "Is it I?" They couldn't point the finger at anyone else around the table. And that shows the depth of Judas's betrayal, that they didn't recognize, that they didn't even suspect. At that stage, not one of the disciples even suspected that Judas would betray Christ. They were concerned that they would do it. They were concerned that somehow it would be them, and they were searching their own hearts. And then the Lord speaks again, and he says, "Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." And it's only at that point then that Judas speaks up and he says, "Lord, is it I?" The disciples have been speaking up. Judas didn't speak up the first time. It was the second time he spoke up. And what we have there is a picture of someone who was trying to hide in the crowd. He was hiding his sin. As the others were asking the question, Judas was just keeping his head down. You know the way sometimes you keep your head down. Maybe I remember being back in school. And when I was in school, sometimes the teacher would be asking questions. And as the teacher was asking a question and you knew you didn't know the answer, and you were keeping your head down and hoping you wouldn't be picked to answer the question. Well, Judas was sitting in the upper room and he was keeping his head down. And he was hoping that no one was going to point it out to him. But ultimately, he came to the place where he had nowhere to hide. And he asked the question, "Is it I?" Maybe he's trying to save face. I don't know. Was the only one who hadn't asked the question before. But when he asked the question, Jesus said, "Thou sayest it." Jesus told him it was him. John's account of this story tells us that Judas left the room at that time. And he left the room and he went straight about the business of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. He went and he betrayed him. even with these words of Christ ringing in his ears, even with the words of the Lord condemning the one who would betray him, Judas still proceeded. He still went on. Now, we could ask ourselves the question, we could say, if it was me, once the Lord spoke, I wouldn't have done this. But we don't know that. Certainly in the situation with Judas, he didn't step back. He went out through the door, and he went about the business of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. His heart was fixed upon it because, as Jesus said, one of you is a devil. Can I ask you tonight, as you have heard the gospel many times, you have heard the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You have heard the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to save you. You have heard that your sin separates you from God. You have heard that because of that separation, you're bound for a lost eternity, separated from God for all of eternity if you don't come to Christ. And you have heard that over and over again. You have heard the message, and week after week, you go out unmoved. Week after week, you go out and you do nothing about it. Are you going to continue just like Judas did? Are you going to keep going out, keep driving out, keep walking out, keep moving on and rejecting the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We see his opportunity. We see his betrayal, but I want you to see his eternity. Because in Matthew 27 and verse 3, the passage that we read, Judas has an attack of conscience. It says, Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now, it's translated here as repented himself, but the picture is this. It's not an idea of remorse. It's second thoughts. He thought to himself, what have I done? He's sorry that Jesus has been condemned to die. Maybe he thought that whenever they took Jesus captive, that they would be lenient to him. Maybe he thought that the people would cry out that Jesus would be released. Maybe he thought that they would just put him in prison. I don't know. What I do know is that the Bible tells us that when he heard that Jesus was condemned to die, he repented himself. He had second thoughts. But if he'd been listening closely to the words of Jesus over the previous 3 years, he would have known what would take place, because Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to a cross. Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to pay the price for sin. And Judas had missed it. Judas had ignored it. All for 30 pieces of silver he had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 30 pieces of silver was the price of a common slave. That was the price that he sold Jesus for. And he comes back and he brings the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, only to salve his conscience. He wasn't repenting of what he'd done. He was trying to salve his own conscience. It tells us in verse 5 that when they wouldn't take it, and they said to him, what is that to us? See thou to that, that he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. He couldn't live with what he'd done. When he realized the depth of what he had done, when he realized that he had sold innocent blood, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He had betrayed the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He had betrayed the Son of God. Doesn't seek true repentance, though. He sought to cure his conscience. And when he realized that he couldn't cure his conscience, well, he couldn't handle the guilt. He realized that he couldn't escape, humanly speaking. He was in turmoil at the way that he felt. But it doesn't ever tell us in Scripture that Judas sought forgiveness from God. He knew he'd sinned. He knew he had rejected what Christ told him. He knew that he had done wrong. And they tried to silence his conscience by killing himself. John MacArthur says this was the grief of a madman who had lost control. Now, whenever we think about all of that, I want you to think back to the words of Jesus in the upper room. When Jesus spoke to Judas and to all of the disciples, and he says, woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Judas's eternity was a fearful eternity, because he went out into a lost eternity and he had no hope. It would have been better for him if he'd never been born. And yet here's the nub of it all. Judas had no excuse because he'd been with Jesus. He'd heard the truth. He'd heard and he had rejected it out of hand. He'd rejected the offer of God's salvation. And he went out into a lost eternity. My question to you is this. You have heard the truth. You have heard the message of the gospel. You have heard that you are a sinner who's separated from God, but that Christ went to the cross to save you. Are you rejecting the truth? Are you rejecting it for the pleasures of this world? Are you rejecting it for the things that are just of time, that are of no significance in eternity? Are you rejecting it for a few moments here and going out into a lost eternity without Christ and without hope? You can get right with God tonight. You can get right with God while you're sitting in your car right now. You can confess your sin. You can tell the Lord that you're a sinner. You can tell the Lord that you know that your sin separates you from Him. You can come and you can plead and you can ask Him to forgive you for your sin. And you can come and believe. And you can do that right now in your car. You can be ready for eternity. But don't be like Judas. Don't keep going on. And keep going on. And one day find it that it's too late. Because that's what happened with Judas. He'd gone too far. It was too late. He'd rejected Christ. He'd betrayed Christ. And he went out into a lost eternity. Come and put your trust in Christ tonight. And have your sin to be dealt with. I trust that you will. I pray that you will. And that you'll be ready for eternity.